You want me to start shouting? Yeah, ooh, they saved you. You want me to start shouting this early? That's crazy. Yeah, the way service is going today, you never know what's going to happen. Father, help me today. I feel like today is kind of like weather started getting rough. The tiny ship was tossed. Lord, all these tiny ships today that have been weathering through your presence, it's been wonderful. I pray you continue to help me weather through the word today. And all the little ships would find a safe place to harbor in it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I got a new mini-series I'm starting. I think we have the title of it up there by chance, Beating the Gates of Hell. Yeah, it's a sporadic mini-series. And what I say by that is, you know how we have the weekly loaf sometimes? Once in a while, I'll throw the weekly loaf down. And it's like the daily, well, back in the day, it was called the daily breads. But it's your memory verse or your daily verse you get in your Bibles. And I put a week of those, what you probably are reading every day, and I put something together. Well, and every once it shows up, this is going to be Beating the Gates of Hell. Every once in a while, you're going to see this series pop up, or we're going to get a point on how to beat the gates of hell. Does that sound fun? That sounds, yeah. Beating the Gates of Hell, tips to beat it back. Are you tired of hell's victories? Yes. Are you tired? You're wanting to win somewhere, just someplace, just want to win. How about you'd like to just beat hell one time, just for a change? Ever had hell beat you? Yeah. You can raise your hand to that one. That's okay. You're in church. I said hell a bunch of times. I'm going to say it a bunch of times more today. Anyone want to get a, seriously, want to get a win against the gates of hell? Yeah, you did. I'm talking about a little bit about your win against the gates of hell. Just a little smidgen. That's actually next in my notes, actually. You know, you may need to get win against the gates of hell in your physical health, right, Miss Mary? Yeah, she got a good report. Some gates of hell been pressing against you for a while, haven't they? You ever feel the gates of hell at your buttocks pressing you? Like, get off me, hell! Yeah, like you're caged in by hell. Well, she got a win this week. She beat the gates of hell. So Jesus, yeah, come on. Next time you have stage 4 cancer and you beat the gates of hell, we'll cheer for you. All right? So we're equal cheering opportunity church. Maybe you need to beat the gates of hell in your relationships. You don't have to cheer for that one. Everybody, when you do that, people do this. Maybe you need to beat the gates of hell over the wounds in your life. Maybe you need to beat the gates of hell because of your neighbor. No, I'm just, never mind. Say, I want to win. It's time, right? I want to win. It's time we, the church, start piling up some wins. How about that? Big wins. There's another series I'm going to be doing soon. It's called Uncivilized, and it's talking about what our future looks like as the church. I'm looking forward to it, and I think we need to pile up some wins because it's time. I think it's time. There's key points how to beat the gates of hell, and I'm going to slowly roll through it today. I'm going to chew on it a little bit. I'm going to belabor the point, Jody, like a dead horse. Because I feel like God gave me this as important. This is something like I didn't want to preach. I really wanted you to shout me down today. I don't know if that's going to happen, but there's some things I feel like God is saying so important for the next season of our life. If we don't get it, the gates of hell keep winning. Are you tired of the gates of hell winning?
Yeah.
Then this is going to be a good message today if you're tired of the gates of hell winning. Jesus said of Peter, right? He said of Peter, the scripture's not up yet, but that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. Remember Jesus said that?
Yes.
Say, I am the church. The gates of hell will not prevail against I am the church, right? The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So if you want a big key, I'm going to give it a bunch of times, and I'm going to give it right in the beginning so we can chew on it and get through it and take some scriptures and apply it. But I'm going to give you the key right away. One of the keys to beating the gates of hell, I think I have a slide up. Please don't get offended. 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 I say 7 times, please don't get offended. Beat the hell gates of hell forever and ever with this one key. In one area, Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail. I'm going to talk about how this statement allows the gates of hell to prevail all the time. Constant prevail. Constant prevailing in our lives is because of that statement right there. And you know I'm speaking the truth because you feel all weird inside. You know? I had a short study break before summer happened, and God seemed to say a few things to me. He talked to me about slowing down the pace when I speak a little bit, because he's given me some meaty things. It's not easy to do. I look at the clock. I look at worship. I think of your backsides. These are nice chairs, but they're not, you know. I think it's time this year to strengthen and restore like never before. It is time to strengthen and restore. Why? Because you need your nets fixed if you're going to catch fish. And this is something that's going to fix our nets. It's going to cause us to hear God a little better. It's going to be easier to pray and listen if we get this taken care of. I feel like as part of a new season as the church and the church, right, it's time to get ready, right? Strengthen and sustain so we can stop hell from winning, you know? I have another slide up. I'm not sure if I do. It's time to prevail against the gates of hell. It's really time to prevail. And he's like, well, you can't. Yeah, Jesus said, we can. Jesus actually said we're supposed to. And there's some things that keep us from prevailing a lot, right? As the church, it really does. I'm excited. It's a big key. Aren't you psyched about it? Aren't you psyched about the topic? Like, no, you're not. No one wants to talk. No one wants to hear about their offense. You want me to go on? You want me to go back? Gates of hell, let's get fired up. Come up the gates of hell. Let's jack up the gates of hell. Yeah, and we're gonna. You want a big key to jack up the gates of hell? Get it up off your back? Feel impressed by the gates of hell? Gotta work on your offense. Gotta work on my offense. Right? It's a simple way. It's a simple way. I didn't say easy. Say simple. It's simple, but it ain't easy, right? Yeah, it's simple, but it ain't easy. It's very, very powerful battle strategy, though. It's a guaranteed victory to beat back the gates of hell. I'm going to get the scriptures in a little bit. It's like a big dog key. You know, it's like a big dog key. What is it? Let's throw it up again, because I just want to make sure you don't forget what the key is. Put it up for me. Please don't get offended. And I'm going to talk about how we get offended and the ways we get offended. The key to beating back the gates of hell gives you an opportunity to prevail is ending our offense with God. Some of us have to start ending our offense with God. Ending our offense with leaders. Ending our offense with Christians. Ending our offense with humans. Ending our offense with the church. Ending our offense with fill in the blank. Right? Why? Because our offense is allowing hell to win. It's allowing hell to win. Actually, later on, if I hope to get to the end of this message, later on, I'm going to prove to you that when we fall in offense, we get used as trophies by the enemy. Yeah, I'm going to get there. John the Baptist's head was on a silver platter, trophy of his offense for a while. One of God's greatest ambassadors of all time. Jesus said of him, no one greater to this point in history was born than John the Baptist. And he ended up as a trophy for the enemy for a little while. And it was because of offense. I'll prove it to you. Say, I'm the church. We got to let the door get closed on hell prevailing anymore. Say, offense. The gates of hell shall not prevail in me. It shall not prevail in me anymore. The gates of hell shall not. I want you to ponder this for a second. What if we set out to make the church gates stronger? What if that was our focus this year for the church gates to be stronger than ever before? What if we had a way to block hell's construction and build heaven instead? What if there was one way to do that? Right? When we handle offense properly in our lives and apply it, we defeat the gates of hell. I have a picture of the gates of hell because some of you guys don't know what it looks like. I brought one. There it is. It's the gates of hell. That's what it feels like, right? Outnumbered, beat, surrounded, smashed. And God says, are you tired of losing to those jokers? You want to win in one area of your life, a guaranteed win in one area of your life against hell. You know, ethos is our marriage practice. And don't worry, this advice is free. But 30 years, we've been trying to teach a couple simple practices to married and family couples. And it's this, compliments over criticism. Compliments over criticism, right? Speaking of stuff that is not free, I want to say thank you guys that give every day. every week that you give here. This is your church. I never have to talk about finances. Why? Because you read the Word of God and you give. And it's beautiful, and I love that. We don't have to take a lot of churches, like, we're still talking about offering. You know, some things are free. The gospel should be, but things that pertain to getting it produced in the world are. You guys are so faithful. And so I like to give you some free nuggets, some tips every once in a while. And I'll tell you, compliments for criticism will tip the scales in the right direction. Every time, right? Every time. Ethos counselors encourage us to tip the scale in the right direction. Tips the scale in your marriage, right? Tip the scale in other relationships. It works not just in marriage. This will work with the person sitting next to you. You might not even know them, but if you sincerely compliment them enough, you're going to tip the scales in their heart. You realize that? Some of y'all need some compliments sometimes. Man, you're here this morning. I want to say thank you. I'm not here by myself this morning. It's a compliment to have you here. It's a blessing to have you part of my life. I got some spiritual sons and daughters in the house today, and I'm trying not to be nervous because I haven't seen them in a while. They're here, you know. I like to see Pastor Tim up here more often, but he's always working over there. So I don't know. I just want to say the way to keep the odds ever in your favor, may the odds ever be in your favor, compliments over criticism, right? The scale of your words, build up, sincere priorities, give breakthroughs. And the hard part is, the reason we don't sometimes is because offense keeps us from doing that. Offense just keeps us. What side in your life do you heap the most on? Yeah, that's where hell wins. That's where hell's winning. The key to overcoming the gates of hell and us getting our licks in is to stop being offended. Look at your neighbor and say, please don't be offended. Write it down. It's a key. Matthew 16, 18. Let's get into the scripture so you guys don't think I'm making up junk. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What did Jesus say? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Peter's revelation of Jesus, the gates of hell. So Jesus is speaking to Peter, and the hows and the whats that Peter's crew is going to be building and growing the church, he's got to understand the gates of hell are not supposed to prevail. So that's right after this famous thing. Upon this rock I will build my church. How many times you quoted that? Seriously, in your Christian walk, we're getting you right. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Then the rest of the statement is, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But lots of times, not long after salvation, we just open up the gates and let hell come rolling in. Right? Come on in, storm the gates. You know? And I think it's time to stop the gates of hell because they're not supposed to prevail. So I asked the Lord for a key. I said, give me one that we could like pop the gates of hell in the mouth. I've been in an MMA mood lately. I've been in my garage hitting things too much. So that's where I pray. You know, I'm out there jacking the bag. Give me something. Give me a key. I said, all right. Check this out. I said, Lord, that's not a good one. You know, we'll talk about that one, Lord. I had some fun stuff you told me up north in my study break. I thought we'd talk about that. He said, we're going to. So the gates of hell aren't going to prevail. Didn't I tell you that up north? Yeah, you did. And now I'm telling you one of the biggest keys the church needs to know for the season they're in. And it's this right here, this slide. Please don't get offended. Please don't get offended. Please don't get offended. You know, and the more I pondered it, getting ready for this, Jesus offended lots of people. But it was still a choice. They could be changed or offended. Just because he offended them, you don't have to stay offended. You can actually change. Because sometimes things that offend us, we have to take a look at yourself. Don't you want to be somebody? You got to look at yourself sometimes and go, oh, that offended me because it's true. How dare you? It's a choice. As his church, as his bride, as disciples, we have to choose at work at not being offended, but being changed. We do. Matthew 15, 12. Then the disciples came and said to Jesus, do you know that? Hold on. That always makes me laugh. Asking Jesus if he knows stuff he already said, you know? Do you know that the Pharisees were offended? Say offended. They were offended when they heard you say this. You know, offense is a theme wherever Jesus speaks against stuff that's out of alignment in our lives. You notice that? Wherever God says something and that we feel differently, that's where our offense is. Right? I'm offended by that. Jesus offended when their interpretation of what pleases God is different than actual God's. That he offended all the time. You know, that's where we get offended too. Sometimes we get offended because of something God said. And I think that hinders us and allows the gates of hell to win. We're offended with the only one that's ever had our back our whole life and saved us from the gates of hell itself. Where is our help going to come from? When the church, right, we read his word, we have an opportunity to be offended every time we read his word. There is stuff in there I don't like. Is that okay to say as one of his men of God? There are things that I don't particularly care for. Things I would omit if I were God. Yeah, if I were God, the world would have been over in like 4 minutes. Hedonism, death, you know. Thank God he's got things in there that offended me. And I changed. Right? We have the opportunity to be offended with Jesus and his ways. See, sometimes. Right? Jesus is all about God's will be done, though. That's his first priority, right? So all can be offended. He'd be like, I don't give a hang. Why? With my Father. And sometimes when you pastor, you got to do that from the pulpit, too. You know that? That's not the stuff they tell you if there's ever a pastor school somewhere that's worth a darn. I should teach that at NSBI, but that is a class, maybe, you know. Have you ever been offended by God, honestly? I mean, you don't have to raise your hand in public. Have you ever been offended by God? Yeah. How about this? You ever feel that, like, you at least knew, you were sure you knew what was best for you? Like, you knew that you knew what, if God had just blessed you like you see him doing, like you've got prophesied over when you were four, you've been waiting on. But God said, ever get offended when he didn't come through for you like that? Something like that? God, and you ever have a standoff? Ching, ching. Standoff with God, looking at him face to face, and you're going, I ain't budging off. I ain't budging off this, God. And he goes, you know, okay, you will. But I'm offended. I know. It's going to get worse. I've seen situation after. It's a common thing, honestly. We all share those moments, right? It's always us in those moments that need to adjust, though, and not God. It's always us that needs to adjust. You know, he's the lighthouse. We're the ship. Yeah. Adjust your course, dude. Why? You're running into rocks. You adjust your course. Ain't going to happen. I'm the rock. It's not going to happen. So we can stand this way all day, but it's going to get harder for you than it is for me because I have eternity to stand this way and stare at you. Or you can change, right? If we are his, we should learn to adjust to him. You know, there's a wedding term, a married term. It's called hupotasso. It means to submit, right? But that word is so amazing. It talks about submitting to him. It's a voluntary action, but it means to adjust yourself to him. To submit is to adjust yourself to him. To submit is to adjust yourself to him. His agenda, his way, his vision, his ministry, his plan, how, what, where, way, how, to him. And when we don't, we get offended. If we're offended at God and his ways, then the fact is, it's time for us to adjust. Come on, let's break that. Let's break it together. Let's not get offended. Let's bust that now. Let's beat the gates of hell now, right? Offense is at times part of the package as a disciple. You can't avoid it. In pastoring, I've seen a lot of offense. Honestly, some seasons it feels like that's all I can see. And I'm glad he dropped this in me when I didn't see it. You know? Matthew 24, 9 through 10. This is Jesus warning his disciples, his future disciples. I'm a future disciple. I'm a current disciple. He's warning us, right? If you're a disciple, go, woo! All right, okay, he's warning us. It says, then they will hand you the church over to endure tribulation. That's offensive. And will be put to death. Jeesh. That's a lot to deal with. No wonder people walked away. What? That's not how to influence friends and win people. No. They don't start out with that sentence. Hey, I got a great plan. You want to sign up with Primerica? Yeah. You're going to be humiliated and put to death. Come on. Join the team. Come on. That's what he's saying. Hey, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. They're going to hand you over to endure tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations. How many?
All.
Oh, all nations, yeah. Because of my name. And at that time, at the time when Christianity is unpopular, at the time that Christianity is unpopular, when you're hated and it's deadly, at that time, say at that time, many will be offended. Many will be offended. The church under persecution and called out on things or pressed to make a stand and it goes bad for us because, whoa, we're not in the majority. God didn't deliver me in that moment. Why am I having to deal with this enduring situation? Why am I? Careful, because many will be offended because God ain't doing what you asked him to do in that moment. I'm trying to help us. Because if we're going to be strong enough to be the church that actually goes out and changes the world, we got to start toughening up a little bit. And part of our problem is we get offended. The gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of hell shall not prevail. You have so much offense with your brother. The gates of hell is beating everyone up in your family. Walk back to the pulpit. 45-degree turn. At that time, many will be offended and repelled and will fall away. Ever see that happen? Anybody been in a church more than like a year? See someone go, woo for Jesus, and then something happened, they get all snotty before you know it. You know? Doesn't appear they're serving Jesus. Feels like a fence allowed the gates of hell one more victory. And they'll betray one another. No, that'll never happen. No. Nazi Germany didn't happen. No, they don't kill Christians in Nigeria. They don't turn each other over for money there. No, China, you got all sorts of free will to just, woo, get your dance on for Jesus. It happens. Every week. And guess not, it doesn't just happen every week over there. It happens every week at every church. Someone leaves every Sunday, some church somewhere offended. Happens at jobs, happens in our homes, happens at Fry's. Many will be offended at what God is doing and what he is not doing in their lives. Many will be offended at what God is doing and not doing in our lives, right? How many will be offended at how God's doing it? Have you ever had a problem with God doing it a certain way that after the end, like, why did you do it that way? Or what are you doing that way for God, right? I'm your church. Why you treat me like this? I'm your church. Why you treat me like this? I'm a princess. I'm your bride. I turn your head when you walk down the aisle. Yeah, you do, but sometimes you ugly. Sometimes you mean. Sometimes I go to give you a hug and the gates of hell are in the front room. Yeah, I know, Lord. Why don't you fix that? Oh, that's another one of my offenses. Got you. You ever get offended? The gates of hell keep winning over and over and over and over again. Ever get offended with that? Ever get offended with just living and offended? The gates of hell win every time. When we have offense with his ways or each other, and then the rest of that scripture says, and when they will hate one another. I've seen that happen so much. I've seen good friends family members come to such a place that they don't speak. You have the same last name, but we don't know that side of the family. Anybody have any of those? I'll raise my hand. Oh my goodness, you guys know about offense. You guys have been in offense before. Oh goodness, I got the right message. You understand what I'm saying this morning? Hell prevails every time one of us gets offended. You know, sometimes you'll see arguments between husbands and wives. I don't know if you ever experienced that, but it happens sometimes. It does. And then sometimes one spouse will think they won the argument because they did it best. And you know who won? Hell. Most of the time it's hell that won. Not the one like, aha, proved it. You did have butter yesterday. The video camera evidence show, mister. But we do that, don't we? We think we win arguments, but all we did is take one for the other team. Scored one for them again. Right? Hell prevailed one more time. Offense leads to hate, and hate to death. And that means your God perspective is about to die too. Offense leads to hate and then to death, and then your God perspective is gone. So stay close to his heart. It beats out the offense. Stay close to his heart. It beats out the offense. Break the pattern of offense in our life. Be on the lookout for divisiveness. If you want to beat hell, don't participate in its victories. If you want to beat hell, don't play for them. Right? God, say, God can't offend me, but you, pastor, you know. I will remove offense in my heart today, and I'll try really, 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 really hard not to offend my brother. Say this, when the going gets tough, the tough surrender to God. So I am the church, and I'm breaking the cycle. All right, I'm here this morning. Offense is such a warm topic, I thought we should continue. You know, so I feel like we're just settled into it nicely now, you know. You're all comfortable. Let's try Mark 4:17. Let's look at some more things that can offend. And they have no real root in themselves, so they endure for a little while. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, ever just have someone have an issue with you because you're trying to live God's way?
Yeah.
Like you decided, okay, I'm going to participate in abstinence now. What? What are you saying, man? Like a virgin in our society? Ever try to get free of drug and alcohol and people just go, what? How about at the office cooler when you no longer participate in the bad jokes? The dirty jokes aren't part of where you stand and play anymore. And they start going, can't believe he don't come over here anymore. He is Christian, Holy Roman. Right? At these times, we have choices. We can stand at his word or we can surrender the gates of hell. At those times, we have choices. We can stand or we can surrender. Those are our choices. I say, God's asking us to stand again against the gates of hell. And that makes me pumped up. But then the first key he gives us is don't be offended. Give me something else I can take a swing with, right? When trouble comes, right? It says when trouble comes. Say when trouble comes, right? Immediately they are offended. No. That's your first go-to? Honestly, I don't know who you are, and I'm not looking at anybody in particular, but if your first go-to is offense every time you're corrected by God, if your first move is offense at any given time on a regular basis, if you live 1 second away from being offended at pastor, being offended at Jody, being offended at TV, being offended at this, being offended at that, Joel Osteen, blah, blah, blah. If you're offended in that world constantly, I'm going to submit to you, the gates of hell are using you to drive right in. It's time to stop the gates of hell. Yeah. That's why this is such a big deal. Yeah. It's a huge deal. Immediately they were offended and displeased at being associated with me and stumbled and fell away. I want to encourage us to stop that pattern of being offended, right? You got from God, or what you didn't get from God, or sometimes we just fully are full in. We expected God to do a thing, and God didn't do a thing like we want him to do a thing. Yeah. And then sometimes God didn't do a thing because I didn't do my thing. Or the reason I'm standing in this thing is because I chose that thing. Yeah. Get me out of here. Calm down. Take me away. So you would be offended at this answer. I'm trying to help us. Why? Because offense will kill us. It's the opposite of what we're supposed to be doing. Right? Either way, we get offended and the gates of hell steal a victory. No matter what our reason for it, it steals a victory. Sound like a familiar story in your life? Right? We're growing, right? We're growing in this. Jesus gets offense, right? Matthew 11, 2 through 6. We can't let our past define us, you guys. Sometimes it wants to. Sometimes your past wants to define you. And Jesus gets it. Am I Matthew 11, 2 through 6? All right. But no, that's not the one I wanted. But let's go there anyways. I'll jump out of there anyways. It's way down in my notes. Let's read it anyways. Now, when John the Baptist in prison heard about the activities of Christ, he sent word by his disciples. First of all, why did he have them? I know that sounds offensive, but Jesus is in town. Why follow anybody else? When Jesus shows up, why follow anyone else? Sometimes we get so tied into a ministry, don't we? Oh, Brother Jones, or Pastor Jones, or Pastor Sean. No. When Jesus shows up, follow him. Wherever he goes, no matter who that offends. All right. Okay. Let me get back to it because I had the wrong one written there. He sent word to disciples, said, are you the expected one? I'll tell you right here. This is a dilemma. Are you the Messiah, or should we look for another, the one who's promised? Right here, I'm going to tell you the background. I don't know if you know the story, but earlier, John the Baptist was shouting out the riverbanks to everyone who could hear, repent from your sins, turn to God, and be saved. He was shouting it out. And then the next thing he shouted out after that started rolling was, here's the one, the Messiah, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Go follow him. He's it. I saw it. Descend on him. The Lord showed me. The same God has been telling me this. There's Jesus. Go, go, go. Jesus, Jesus, go. And now he's in prison. Not where he expected to be in his glorious ministry. And now he's going, are you the one, man? Because you're not doing it like I want you to. You certainly aren't busting me out of jail, bruh. Jesus answered, go and report to John what you hear and see. He already knew that. John already got that report. We'll finish the second part of that scripture. I don't think it's up next. Is it Bob? Is it up next? All right. It says, the blind receive their sight. Anybody ever have that happen to them? You didn't see him before. You didn't see Jesus correctly before. All of a sudden, you saw Jesus and he did something in your life. Like, oh my gosh, he's real. Like, Jesus is real and he really does stuff. That means he really forgave me. And all of a sudden, you got a revelation in your life that Jesus was who he says he was and you were on board. And you saw. You saw, like, whoa, I heard it my whole life. A children's church ministry, but I'm also, whoa, I saw it from her. I needed it, right? Okay. They saw. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed. Anybody get any cleansing? Deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. It's good for everybody. Blessed, joyful, favored by God is he. Oh, he's about to give us something good, isn't he? Because he just did a good list. He just talked about all the good stuff. What is he going to say next? Remember all the good stuff I did for you and you and you and you? Remember what I did for you? And remember that and this and salvation and this and that? Remember all that? Yeah, we remember. And blessed are you going to be. What else am I be blessed? Tell me what I'm going to be blessed more, Jesus. Shower bless me. Blessed and joyful and favored by God is he who does not take offense at me. I'm not offended at Jesus. He's my Lord and Savior. Should we tip down through that path? Jesus asking you to do something that you don't want him to do. You read something you didn't really like, so you don't read it anymore. You heard advice you didn't want to take, so you didn't take it anymore. Blessed and favored by God is he who does not take offense at me and the way I do things and what I say. You want to beat the gates of hell? Please stop offense. It's bigger than it seems. It's deadly. It's gangrene. It will eat your body, your church body. How many church bodies split and get devoured by offense? How many have been through a church split because of that? I want to raise your hand. Don't be. Yo, go ahead. Get up high, CJ. Go up. You know, I know you knew. I knew I had one hand out there. Get so offended, right? They couldn't see who Jesus was. He didn't show up in a familiar way. It was an unfamiliar way. But you know, we got to get back into our lives. He can show up any way he wants to. And he can talk to us about anything he wants to. And he can tell us anything he wants to. And if we love him, we'll hupotasso. We'll bend ourselves, submit to him. Because that's love. And he's asking his church to get stronger. And he said, I'm tired of the gates of hell prevailing against you. Lord, what do I tell him? He said, stop the offense. Okay, I can talk about it, Lord. Sometimes no matter who you are, Jesus included, people choose to stay blinded and offended, right? They think they know, right? And they got to get this kind of attitude. I got a picture of the attitude we have to have. I thought I had a picture of our attitude. It should be a small blue fish. There she is. Just keep swimming, man. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just keep swimming. Like, you can't say nothing. I got to keep swimming. Just swim. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Why? Because the gates of hell are back there. Get away from it. Keep swimming on. Time to swim. Keep trying to imitate the heart and the actions of Jesus, right? It's the key to victory for me, you, and a dog named Boo. It's the key. It's an absolute key. Key for all of us to take a quiet look. A quiet look, Hannah and Cole. I don't know. I didn't turn around. I was afraid I wouldn't see enough hands. I'd start being offended. Take a quiet look inside ourselves and do one thing. Repent. I know that's not a sexy word. It's not how you build your church, I'll tell you right now. But it's how you can stop the gates of hell from prevailing. And that really matters more to me than anything else. It's time like never before to get tuned in and to clear our offenses. Say, great word, Pastor, but I do believe it's time to go. No, I'm not finished yet. This is good medicine. You know, the Apache have a saying, Ganaronkwa haya heya ho, which means Jesus is good medicine. Ganaronkwa haya heya ho. Jesus is good medicine. Sometimes medicine don't taste good. No, sometimes medicine just don't taste good. But it's good for us. Because offense is an infectious disease that we need to kill the spread of. So we got to take some Ganaronkwa haya ho. Jesus is good medicine, right? Offense has been killing churches from the inside out since day one, right? So imagine with me today, imagine for a second. You are the reason your rival team, think of who they are, your rival team. You're the reason your rival team, sports fans, something that you or I did, allowed not just a loss to my team, but my rival team won because of it. Imagine you're sitting there in your living room and you have your coaster that you always have for the game for them to win. And it has to be in the same spot. Some of you freaks like that, right? And you watch your football game that way. And the coaster's got to stay there. I'm talking to you. And anyways, and all of a sudden, what if you moved your Broncos coaster at the last second and they shank that 10-yard field goal? Your whole family would go, I can't believe you, Mom. Right? They'd be looking at you because of the coaster. Now, we know there's no way in this world, no butterfly effect that you don't come up with in that moment is going to cause that coaster to miss that in Mile High Stadium. But they're going to look at her for a second and go, oh, man, he had to move the coaster. It's the lucky coaster. Now the season's ruined, Mom. You know? But think of it. Think of it deeper. Imagine the gates of hell. I'm talking about hell. I'm talking about the enemy of God and our souls. There's two teams. I'm talking about hell's team. Imagine they get a victory when we fill in the blank. I got a picture of the thought process when I realized when that happens, I cause my rival team to win, and I did it in emojis. That's my progression. I caused hell to win? What? Are you serious? Oh my God, I caused hell to win. 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 You don't think offense is a big topic? I caused hell to win. Can't beat back the gates of hell. So you know who wins when we're in offense? I got to picture him too. That guy. That's my devil emoji. I know it's not. It's a Kubicon mask from Japanese, but it looks like a devil emoji to me. Don't be offended. Offense has come at expecting God to do the things how and when in the way that we like, right? I got an emoji that shows that. Yeah, I use that a lot. Like, it's not good. All right. The way we wanted to go didn't happen, so we got offended. The way we expected that he should do it, because he can cause us to get offended. You know, I've seen it over these 30 years. I've seen people come in with vibrant serving God lives, like they're sold out to serve Jesus. And then something turns and they become a headless tragedy of offense. And all of a sudden, that hellish victory, the rival team wins. The kids are smashed up, the teammates, the job, the offense is just cray everywhere. Our offense is like out of control. Why wouldn't God just do what I asked him to? I read it in his word and I asked him. And it's a good thing because it will help more than just me, primarily me, but more than just me. And we forget this is how sometimes, because we're close, he's closer than a brother. He is Emmanuel. I'm going to do a Holy Spirit message. He's Emmanuel, God in us. And we get so wrapped up in my Jesus that we forget sometimes this is how we look to him. I got a picture of that. It should be a planet. Yeah. We're down there somewhere. We're not all that. Who are we to demand him to do anything? But we say we got to get too big for our britches, my grandma would say. Sean boy? She would call me Sean boy like I was a Walton. You're getting too big for your britches. That meant someone's going to come whoop me. That's usually what the next part of that was. Like, you better settle back, whatever those britches size are, because you're about to get whooped. I was too big for my britches sometimes. And I think sometimes we get that little huffy with God, don't we? You just do it this way and do it that way. Why'd you do this? Why'd you bust Jamie? Right? Am I talking to a different church? Okay. Offended at God's hows, his ways, at his what's, at anything. It's laughable. Say this, I'll be the church and let God be God. Say no more wins. So my rival. Now, I do have time for a small story before I get to my aggression. And it's important because sometimes during these messages, and this guy, I've seen it, so I'm throwing it out there. Okay? And messages similar to this over the course of my life, I know that people in the body, there's people who offended each other. So they have such a great heart sometimes, and I'll see them, and they'll go approach each other. I just want to say, Brother Ed, I'm so sorry. But that rarely happens that way. There was a lady back when I was a more attractive human who was after me. And then God showed me my human. And I was all in. This other human became very displeased with that. and had built up some fence. So she decided to come to my wife one day to be and say to her, "I'm so offended at you," and started to tell all her offenses because she had me. Little did she know that's not going to be a great prize later. Don't worry about it. But she thought it was going to be a great prize. And sometimes we do that, you know. We want us to humbly come and tell our friends. What we really want to do is rip you for hurting me. She wasn't coming to go, "Oh, please forgive me." It was more like a little sass. She had a little shake in her shoulder. Like we were going to be together until you showed up. "But I'm sorry." Ever have any of those apologies? "Keep it, bro. I don't want it." "Why? Because you're going to offend me. And then I'm going to have to go through this process." You know? I'm not offended when Jesus does whatever he wants. It should be our response, right? Buckle up. Here's our last dip. Offense can remove our head. Did I leave you a slide for that? I'm not sure. But we're going to finish that scripture up, Bob. Go ahead and pull up 2:6 again. Now, John the Baptist in prison, they believed that Jesus was going to come as Messiah, as a ruling leader, and restore Israel to its prominent nation. It was going to be the nation of nations again under the King of Kings, and it was going to be a glorious reign, and John the Baptist was preparing the way for the prize fighter, Jesus, to come in. And he's like, "All right, Jesus is here. Romans, you better watch out. God's coming. Repent, because you're going to get toasted." And all of a sudden, he's like, "I'm going to go approach Herod now. I'm going to go approach the king." Why? Because Jesus is in town. I'm feeling swaggy. Jesus is here. The real king's here. So I'm going to tell the other king what he's doing wrong. "You've been saying what he's been doing wrong from the river. Now you're going up there. Jesus tell you to do that?" "No, but Jesus is in town. And I'm feeling tough. I'm feeling a little bit, you know, I got Jesus in my back. Bring it." And he ends up in prison. "I ain't going to be here long. Why, Jesus and the boys are going to break me out. That Peter looks pretty rough. He's got a sword." He sent word to his disciples, "Hey, man, I'm in prison for a while here. What's going on? Are you the one? What that means is, why aren't you doing it? If you're the one, why aren't you doing it my way? If you're the one who can heal me, if you're the one who can set me free, if you're the one who can fix my relationship, if you're the one, if you're the one, if you're the one, if you're the one, why aren't you doing it like I want you to, Messiah?" That's what's going on right here. The rest of that scripture should be up there. If it's not, I'm sorry I didn't put it in the notes, but it should be. After that, Jesus' response, the scripture after that, Jesus says to John, "Tell him all these things. Tell him what's happening. But also tell John this. Blessed is he who does not take offense at me, trusting confidently in my message of salvation." You know what happens right after this? John's offended in prison, where he doesn't feel he should be, and maybe he shouldn't have been there. He made some choices, got himself there. And now he's offended that Jesus isn't doing what Jesus is supposed to do. And you know what's about to happen? His head's about to be a dance party trophy. Some girl's going to put on a hot, seductive dance for a perverted king, and what she gets for her trophy is the head of a man of God on a silver platter. Imagine that. A trophy for your rival team. Not just a win, but you're a trophy. Hell puts you on display when you're offended. Yep. Look at my trophy. Yeah, it's my trophy. Why? Because the gates of hell won that match and that match. And I win almost every single day in this guy's life. And this lady over here is going to 55 churches. Why? Because all because of this. And every time she does, I go, trophy, trophy, trophy. Look at it. She lost her head. This is going to help us. I get incensed about letting my rival win at anything. Anybody have a rival? Have you ever had a rival in school? Rival wrestler, rival basketball team, a rival high school? Back in my day, high school rivalries were crazy. Like, crazy. I caused a win for a Myra Free Academy, the Blue Devils. Right? How many of you Cowboy fans want to lose to anybody? But your rival, and not just some rival that you can get by, like, well, we'll get them next year. I'm talking about the gates of hell putting us on display as a trophy because of offense. Who wants it to stop? It's time we get stronger. It's time we get away from that. Let God be God and us be the church. When he says stuff, we adjust, right? When our brother takes us the wrong way, we go to God first before we blast them with everything that they did to us. Maybe God wants to go, hey, bro, that was actually on you. On me? I'm so offended at Jody. Are you kidding me? He hugged everybody in the church 46 times. You know, he hugged me 42. I count them every Sunday. My gosh, Jody. I'm not hugging you again. Never. And I'm going to tell your wife all about it later. All right. Let's put Pastor Sean's head up on a trophy for the devil. Just exactly what I want my life to reflect. Do you want your life to reflect trophies for the enemy?
No.
Yeah, we got to work on this offense thing. It's time. It is time. It is time we get together as the church. We get together as a nation. We get together as marriages. We get together as people. We get together and we go, we're not going to let the gates of hell win anymore. It's time to stop it. It's time to stop it. Unfortunately, my musicians are in the other room, so I don't know if I have any out here that want to come up. But Jesus answered that report and told them everything he ever already knew. And sometimes that's us, isn't it? Jesus tells us stuff we already know. And it's hard to do this, and I don't know how self-aware we are, but do you know deep down in our hearts, sometimes we know it's really us? And you want it to be something else, don't you? I really want it to be charity in that argument. I want it to be you. It's my fault. And I don't want to hear that from God. I'm offended now with God and with charity. She didn't do anything. She was right, but I'm still offended. None of us work that way, probably. But I know that's how hell works. Hell wants us to get so offended with each other and with God because he didn't jump through our hoops, or he didn't do it our way, or our brother wasn't sensitive, or our sister didn't know this. Or they're better. And he wants all this offense to keep the gates of hell barreling right through like the L train, right through the church. Not anymore. Go ahead and stand with me. It's time to look at this year and decide, you know what, we're not going to let the gates of hell win. We're going to remove fence this year. This is the year that we're going to be proactive. And some of us, that's hard. That's hard. But God's going to do something in our lives this year. He's going to get us in such a way. This is the year that you've never been stronger. You came out of one of the years that you've probably never been weaker. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I know it's true. God said, this can be the year that you've never been stronger. And it starts with the first place this morning. If this is you, if this is me, if you got an offense with God, he's not doing it your way, in your timing, in your what's, in your who's, in your how's. I'd like to pray for you. Because hell is beating you up pretty good. If he says, if you can't trust in me, the Messiah, the one who came, what are you going to look for? I'm the only one that can remove the offense, and you're offended with me. Jesus said, I'm the lighthouse. So this morning's your opportunity to adjust. So if you need adjustment, why don't we all just close our eyes? Because I know some of us probably have some adjustments to make. So Father, here we are. We are your church, and we together get offended with you. We're sorry. So sorry. You are the way, you are the truth, and your word reigns supreme in my life, whether I like it or not, whether it feels good to me, whether you do another single thing that benefits my life. I love you and I will not be offended with you. Maybe there's a someone, or there's a bunch of someones, or a consistent someone, who just, your heart is being sliced apart and you feel like you can't take it another minute. And God is saying to you, maybe he's saying, forgive them for they know not what they do. And maybe your big thing to swallow is sincere forgiveness, whether they ask for it or not. And not in the way where Pastor Heidi was berated by some lady in forgiveness, but the kind that really extends sincere forgiveness. But maybe, too, maybe the thing that you're offended at with that person, maybe there's something in the mirror that we need to look at in that relationship as well. So, Father, with every relationship that we have, we're asking for wholeness again. Put our nets together. Make strong knots together next to us that we can stand as one big net as the church. The New Seasons net would be so strong, we could tie it on up to the nets around us, Lord God. We can go out fishing together. And Father, we don't have to be weak in our offenses, but we can be strong. Make it this year, Lord God. This is the year that we walk out of offense. We beat the gates of hell, Father. This is the year your church beats the gates of hell, and it shall not prevail against us. We will not stand, nor will we stay in offense with you or one another. In Jesus' name.